I would like to welcome everybody and call to order this CROG Policy Board meeting. It is Wednesday, April 26th. It is 12:02. Laura has determined that we have a quorum, so you'll take that down with the call to order and I will open it up for public comment. Is there anyone here for public comment today?
Everyone, yes, it's me. David Murphy from CIRCA, the Connecticut Institute for Resilience and Climate Adaptation. And I just wanted to say quickly, we are excited to get started with CROG and all the towns on the Hazard Mitigation Plan update and the expansion of a program that we call Resilient Connecticut. Since I'm here under public comment, that's all I'm going to say about it, except for the following. Watch for emails from us. We are going to start reaching out to everybody to schedule our meetings with each town in the months of May and June. We're looking forward to working with all of you.
Thanks, David. Anyone else here for public comment today?
Yes, good afternoon. I have submitted a written, my name is Supriyo B. Chatterjee. I reside in West Hartford, Connecticut. I have submitted a written public comment a few moments ago to the CROG office, and I would like to request that it be distributed in some form or posted on the website for the attendees to go through it. It's about 3 pages, but I'm going to summarize here because I know the limitations of public comment allotted time. Basically, my public comment is a response to CGROG's response to my public comment of the MTP document, which is agenda number 9. The CGROG felt, and it is about Hartford-Brainerd Airport, and I feel that an assessment of the Hartford-Brainerd Airport should be within the MTP scope, but apparently CGROG feels that it is best under the town hall, Hartford Town Hall, and there's another regional study underway. I explained in my public comment that it is of different scope and the funding is different. They are funded by the state, whereas MTP is funded by the federal government. The requirements are different. The time constraints are different. And I've looked into it. And that, in essence, is my public comment for today's meeting. Another point I want to point out is SEDS, the SEDS document, with something CGROG does, is of paramount importance. It's a regional economic development document. I've elaborated that. And it also, for the past several years, I think well over a decade, it has failed to address the economic and regional transportational contribution of Hartford-Brainerd Airport. And I find that that should be addressed. And the SEDS, CEDS, effort is also funded by the federal EDA agency. I had raised this matter with EDA a while ago. I've documented that. And I think it should be examined closely of why CGROG is not addressing NSED's efforts, even given all the documentation about the Hartford Brainerd Airport, why it's not addressing that. So I urge you all to please read my public comment today. It has footnotes and all that references a whole lot of other issues. I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here for a public comment today? Asking once, asking twice. Anyone here for public comment? That's the third time. I will close the public comment portion of the meeting. Thank you to those who called in today. We'll move on to approval of the minutes for the March 22nd, 2023 meeting that is posted. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Madam Chair. John Coleman.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Is there a second?
Second, Steve Jones-Dolland.
Thank you, Steve. Any questions or comments on this? All those in favor of the approval of the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. At this point, we're going to push that presentation from MyCT Savings up before our staff reports. So Lisa, I believe, is with us today. And Lisa, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Okay. Now, do you have, I'm sorry,
I'm going to just get the presentation up here. Thank you. There we go. And I'm going to introduce Jessica Muirhead, who is the Executive Director of the MyCT Savings Program, to kick it off. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you to Matt Hart and Laura Rosenbluth and the CROG staff for giving us the opportunity to speak with you today. I am just going to quickly introduce the program, which will affect particularly the small businesses in your towns. So this is hopefully useful information to know about this new state law and state program that will affect a lot of our, Main Street businesses downtown in your area. So I'll start with a little bit of a background as to why this was created. Across the country, there is a growing segment of workers who don't have enough savings for their retirement. As of 2021, 51% of Americans have increased concerns about retirement due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and nearly 70% of Americans are worried they don't have enough for their future, which is sensible because about 60% of current retirees live off of Social Security alone, and the average Social Security retirement benefit is $1,800 a month, which does not cover most rental apartments in the state. So what's more, millions of workers don't have easy access to retirement savings through their paychecks. In Connecticut alone, that translates to over 600,000 workers who have no access to an employer-sponsored plan. So to address these urgent needs and the retirement cliff for Connecticut's workforce, MyCT Savings was created by law to help Connecticut's employees save for a more dignified and stable financial future with minimal impact to our business community, because we know our businesses in Connecticut want to do the right thing. There are just barriers to entry for reasons why they're not already doing it. So MyCT Savings was piloted with 10 employers 6 months prior to full launch in April of 2022. At the launch, those businesses were sent notifications and registrations were implemented in waves based on the company size. Those waves have now been completed. Because of the really high response that we've seen, we've now extended that deadline to August 31st of this year. The original one was March, but we are seeing more businesses still coming in, so we have extended that to August 31st of this year. So if a company in your town has received a notification to register, it's not too late for them to act on it. And if you have businesses calling in to your town halls, asking in the Economic Development Center, this is hopefully useful information for them to have to direct them to our program, and we're happy to answer their questions. I'm going to hand it off to Lisa to kind of really briefly go over how the program actually works, and then we'll take any questions.
Thank you. So the program MyCT Savings is sponsored by the Office of the State Comptroller, and it's designed to be free for employers to facilitate and easy for them to facilitate, because we do want to respect a small business's time, and we want them to be able to spend their time on their business and not on payroll or not on bureaucracy. So it's free to businesses, it is simple to facilitate, and it takes just a few minutes per pay period, and there is no employer matching for this program. It's a Roth IRA, so there's not a Roth IRA. So again, that helps with the costs for small businesses. All the business needs to do is facilitate the program and keep their employee records up to date, and then contributions will come out on a payroll cycle. So at its core, the program really works because it does connect an employee with a retirement savings option through their paycheck, rather than having to go to a bank or to another group and set it up on their own. So in terms of eligibility for the companies, it's any company with five or more employees as of the 1st of October last year, with at least five employees paid $5,000 or more in taxable wages, and the company doesn't already offer a retirement savings plan. And this does include your full-time and your part-time employees. So employees are automatically enrolled in the program, and then they have an option to opt out if they're not interested in staying in. They need to be 19 years or older. Again, we, you know, want to make sure that employees, you know, employers are not burdened with trying to keep records like this on their summer high, you know, their summer high school and college kids. So we want to make it easier for the employer that way. The employee has to work for at least 120 days and be employed in the state of Connecticut. And I do want to note along the way, people have asked us if sole proprietorships or smaller businesses are able to participate. And the answer is not quite yet, but very soon there will be an option for individuals to enroll in the program. And we will keep you all posted on that. So if My CT Savings applies to someone's business, this is where they start. This is the homepage of our website. And they, if an employer wants to log in and register, they just go to that small, to the lower level of the page. The savers also can use that page to set up their account. If you have a note, if one of your businesses in your town has received a notification from MyCT Savings, they'll need to use the access code to enter into that portal to sign up. So as I said, we want to make it quick and easy for employers. So it's a three-step process. Register to mycctsavings.com, upload the payroll and employee information into the system, or you can also, if the company has a payroll provider, they can do that on behalf of the business, and then keep the staff lists up to date and submit employee contributions. I do want to let you know this program is, integrates with a number of different payroll systems, so they can work directly with these companies listed on the side, and Gusto is another one that will be coming soon. So if you're familiar with the payroll world, those are the programs we're currently working with and will continue to pilot. I also want to let you know that we only ask for the information that's required to open a Roth IRA, and the data is kept strictly confidential. The accounts and the portal are professionally managed by the program's contracted administrator, which is Vestwell State Savings Bank and the Bank of New York Mellon. Bank of New York Mellon is one of the largest custodial banks in the world. And if any of you are trivia buffs, its roots go back to Alexander Hamilton, who founded the Bank of New York. So this is what it means for the employees of a company that signs up. Once the business owner has registered, MyCT Savings will reach out to the employees to explain their options. It is completely voluntary for employees to participate. While there is an automatic enrollment, the employees have an opportunity to opt out, right, to opt out of the program at any time. And if they decide they want to opt out and come back later, they can also do that. There's a 30-day window when employees have, they can make those decisions. And again, but it's always flexible. So if they do opt out, they can come back in. If they do nothing during that 30-day window, they are automatically set up with a Roth IRA and it belongs to the employee. It's set up with a 3% automatic contribution that goes to a diversified targeted date fund based on the year of their birth. They are also able to customize their program. So if they want to log on to the employee portal, they can increase their savings rate or decrease their savings rate. It's as flexible as it can be. And they can choose from a variety of different investment mixes so they can determine how much risk they want to take or not take. So again, employees have access to online tools and people who can help them. There's both an 800 number for employers and employees, and they can, it's also portable. So if an employee decides to leave a company, the account goes with them. If they go to another company that already offers MyCT Savings, then it's all set for them and the company will just pick up the plan there. And I'm going to hand it back over to Jessica. No, I'm sorry.
That's fine, Lisa. I could take it.
Go ahead.
So for those who just have a retirement savings program, they may have been pre-exempted by our office. We've made every effort to pre-exempt them so we're not sending unnecessary communications to businesses. But if they do receive a communication from the program and they have a qualifying retirement plan, they'll just need to certify their exemption by telling us what kind of retirement plan they already offer. So Lisa, we can move on to the next one, and that's the sort of the screen for exempting. It's a very simple, they'll be given an access code and put in their EIN, and then they'll just tell us the information required. So for folks who think they might need to, just please redirect us to our program if they come to your offices asking what they should do. They can just come to our program, we'll give them the access code required either to sign up to or to exempt themselves and give them the information that they need. All right, Lisa, we can move to the next slide. All right, so just a quick update on where we are right now. We have this is from last week. These numbers have gone up a little bit. We're now at 3,800 businesses and almost 11,000 employees enrolled into the program with over $4 million in assets. So it's still early days, but the program continues to grow. And if we can provide any information to the towns, your economic development centers or other, business liaison areas within the town administration, we're happy to do that. We have all kinds of printed and digital materials that may be helpful to your local business communities. All right, so for more information, it's always available on our website at myctsavings.com. That's going to be the primary resource, but you can also get in contact with our offices if you have any additional questions or if you'd like any printed or digital materials that might be useful for dissemination in the town. So that's the long and short of it. Is there any questions before we conclude?
Mayor, this is Matt Hart. I've got a quick question.
Go ahead, Matt.
Thank you. And I want to thank Jessica and Lisa for their good presentation today. I would note if Jessica's name is familiar to people, she's a former CROG staff person. So we're very proud of Jessica and all the great work she's doing in her new role. Jessica and Lisa, I know you touched on this, but how can we in municipal government help support your program? What more can we do?
Sure. So, I mean, the biggest challenge, I think, for the program is especially a brand new program. We're the fourth program of its kind to roll out in the country, and the three states that went ahead of us are much, much bigger than we are, California, Oregon, and Illinois. So the challenge is always going to be consciousness, awareness raising among the businesses, and we know that businesses often rely on their relationships with more locally, and it can often feel confusing for, a wider state government program to come in and develop those relationships directly that we just don't have at the local level. So if there are, say newsletters that come out, go out from your offices to the towns, resources that you have at the local level to sort of give that information. I like to say that our program is agnostic in terms of whether a business would like to participate in MyCT Savings or go out on their own and get a private plan on their own. Their businesses are certainly welcome to do that, but we definitely just are trying to get the word out about like what the requirements are under the law, what the program is, and inform businesses about what their options are. So if there are avenues at the municipal level where there are newsletters or other contacts with your local business communities, we're happy to provide that kind of information or even come out to your town and make a presentation if there's a sort of existing working group or other kinds of groups that might be you know, benefit from this kind of information.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate your time with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to move into item four, which is our staff reports today. And Matt, I will kick this back over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. I do have the full report loaded on our website, which you should have access to. And I am going to speak to a number of the items today. I'll try to be as concise as I can. So first of all, want to mention that it's almost annual meeting time, that time of year, and we're going to be holding our annual meeting this year on Thursday, June 15th from 1:30 to 5 p.m. at the Riverfront Recapture Boathouse. And Michelle McCabe from Connecticut Main Street is going to be our keynote speaker, and she's going to talk about her organization's mission to inspire and support downtowns across our state. Now, you will note that the time frame's a little bit different this year. We're going to experiment a bit here. Instead of a luncheon meeting, we're going to have an afternoon meeting. We will serve hors d'oeuvres, snacks, that sort of thing. And then following the keynote and our presentations, we'll have a social hour at the boathouse for those of you who are available and have the time. So really looking forward to a fun event on June 15th. We'll be sending out more information on that very, very soon. Secondly, you've been hearing me talk about strategic planning and strategic visioning for several months now. And we are planning to hold a special session with the policy board to engage in some strategic visioning. And Mayor Stewart has agreed to host us at City Hall on the morning of June 12th. The morning of June 12th, we'll meet from roughly 9 to 11:30. We'll send out
an email. Don't worry, I'll pay for your parking. Please come.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. So as you may recall, we have retained the local firm of Grossman Solutions to serve as our facilitators. And we're going to use this session to talk about our vision and our mission, and perhaps most importantly, our strategic priorities for the next 3 to 5 years. So those of you who are in a leadership position at CROG, if you're a chair or a vice chair of one of our committees, Grossman is going to want to spend a little bit of time with you, and they're going to want to interview you online. So those of you who are in a leadership position at CROG, expect to get an invite from them to participate in a short Zoom interview. And that really will help inform them so that we can be as best prepared as possible for this retreat, and really hoping that a majority of you will be able to join us on June 12th. And again, want to thank Mayor Stewart in advance for hosting us. Looking forward to a good session there. Moving on, you probably saw some news on this too. Really excited to announce that Ryan Faulkner from our team was recently promoted to the new position of Senior GIS Analyst. And Ryan's now reporting to Eric Snowden in our new GIS and IT unit under Municipal Services. And you'll be hearing more about their work in the future. Congratulations to Ryan, and really excited to see him in his new role. Next, I want to congratulate Aaliyah Miller from our staff, BBG&G Integrated Marketing, and everyone else who worked on our website refresh. They just received a very distinguished award, the 2023 Hermes, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, probably not, Creative Award, which is a really neat honor for the great work that they did updating CROG's website. Also wanted to note that we've posted our quarterly budget report. Want to thank Pauline Yoder and Tracy Malafant and everyone else who worked on that. We don't have any related concerns or issues to report. Happy to take any questions you might have. Next, under the category of the bipartisan infrastructure law, we had a really good discussion with the Transportation Committee earlier this week. As you may know, the USDOT recently issued a Notice of Funding Opportunity, or a NOFO, related to round two of the Safe Streets and Roads for All program, SS4A. And roughly $1 billion is going to be available nationally. And really hoping to see some good competitive applications coming from our region. You may recall we did get an award last year to update our regional safety transportation plan. We're busy working on that and really encouraging our towns to look at this opportunity. You know, we have heard anecdotally that the local 20% match can be a challenge for some of our communities. If that's the case, we want to hear from you. Commissioner Mark Boughton, who is heading CT Built, he's well aware of the issue, and he's trying to work on that on a statewide basis. The next item I wanted to touch base on under the bipartisan infrastructure law, and Laura, if you wouldn't mind, if you could just upload our staff memo. If there's one item you know you could take away from my report today, and Laura will send a link to you separately. I want to highlight this memo that our staff prepared and shared with the Transportation Committee earlier this week. And I really want to thank Elizabeth Sanderson, Rob Eloise, and Roger Cron and others who worked on this. This is our effort really to be even more proactive with the bipartisan infrastructure law. So we shared this with the committee earlier this week. This highlights the BIL programs that we think are most applicable to our communities. Safe Streets through this multimodal project discretionary grant. If you have a project that you think might qualify, a transportation project that you think might qualify for federal funding under this program, but you're unsure as to how it would score, you're unsure whether or not you can cover the local match, we want to know about that. You know, we want you to bring it to our attention. You can contact Elizabeth. Her information's here in the memo. And we'll sit down and we'll meet with your team to talk about your project and how we think it would score, how the application could potentially be improved. We really want to be as proactive as we can in terms of helping our members prepare good quality applications under the BIL. And the city of Hartford, I think, is the very first community to reach out and take advantage of this initiative. So hoping that it's going to be really successful and would encourage all of you at your level, if you can reach out to your representatives on our transportation committee, whether that's your public works director, your town engineer, your town planner, ask them about this, and please bring your good projects to our attention, because we're trying to do everything we can to maximize this five-year BIL initiative. Thank you, Laura. You can take that down now. So just continuing on with my report, Mayor, I'll try to wrap up relatively quickly here.
Okay, Matt, it's your world. We're just living in it. You keep going.
All right. Thanks, Mayor. Appreciate the time. So under municipal services, wanted to bring to your attention, and several of you were able to attend. Earlier this week, we also convened a meeting of the Central Connecticut Solid Waste Authority, or CSWA. That's our regional solid waste authority. We've got 14 members right now. Recall at our last meeting, Jim Fry from RRS and Deborah Darby from Tetra Tech presented our waste management and diversion study. So we shared the same thing with CSWA and presented our staff recommendations in terms of how we can get CSWA up and running again. CSWA had not met since December of 2019. And we really see great potential to do good things with that authority. So the authority is going to begin meeting in earnest. We're also recommending to our members that we look to expand the membership. To expand the membership to include other CROG communities and other communities around the state. I want to thank Robin Nichols for her hard work and Pauline Yoder as well. And looking forward to making good progress in that area. And then also under municipal services, we're continuing to work on the Regional Performance Incentive Program. Recall, we received grants for building official, shared assessment, shared animal control. We're making good progress with the animal control and building official programs. And we're gonna be posting for part-time building officials, I think next week, who can work under this program. We're a little bit at a roadblock in terms of the shared assessment initiative. If you've got an interest in shared assessment and you have not responded to us yet, please reach out to Pauline Yoder. The town of Manchester is taking a leadership role here, and we're really hoping that we can kick something off under that program as well. And then moving on to transportation planning, I did want to highlight, and we've got several transportation items later on today's agenda. I just would note that we recently distributed a solicitation for LOTSIP, Local Transportation Capital Improvement Program, that we distributed that back in December. We received our most significant response to date in the history of the program. Our staff received 27 applications from 22 of our towns. So our solicitation, actually the total value of those applications, almost $58 million. That's a record for us. We're gonna be recommending that we award roughly $34 million in projects. We did review those projects with Transportation Committee earlier this week, and we'll be bringing them to the Policy Board and the MPO for your approval next month. But really want to thank and commend the DOT for administering that program statewide, as well as our staff for their excellent work on it. And then just two additional items under the area of Homeland Security and Public Safety. I want to note that our Capital Region Pre-K through 12 Emergency Planning Committee. So we've got a committee that is devoted to safety in our public schools. They recently had a very good presentation with FBI Special Agent Mark LaFrance, and he talked about his work statewide and regionally, shared best practices with our committee. I want to thank Cheryl Assis and everyone who's involved in that effort as we work regionally to help keep our schools safe. And then last but not least, Laura, if you could advance to the next slide, I wanted to highlight our work on the East Coast Greenway. Recall our East Coast Greenway study, we're looking to close the remaining gaps in the Capital Region. It's roughly a 12-mile stretch where we're looking to bring that multi-use trail from the town of Simsbury through the town of Bloomfield into the city of Hartford and then over the bridge to connect into East Hartford. We've got roughly 200 miles of the 3,000-mile East Coast Greenway here in our state. So this is a very important study. We've been conducting a number of public workshops in Simsbury, Bloomfield, Hartford, and East Hartford. We've got our last one this afternoon and tonight in the town of Bloomfield. I'd like to thank Caitlin Palmer and the members of her team and our consultants from FHI for their excellent work on that. So that's it, Mayor. I know it was a lot today. Happy to take any questions that you or other policy board members may have.
Thank you so much, Matt. Anybody have any questions? Well, that's great. We'll move along then into our legislative update. Kathy, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. We're in a transition period is the best way to put it. The last week, actually the last 2 weeks have been very slow with not a lot of front-facing activity by the legislature. You probably all read about budget negotiations between the legislators and the governor, and that does appear to remain somewhat deadlocked between those entities, but the legislature is moving ahead with their budget, and it does still appear to be bipartisan. Obviously, there are always things, that can throw it off, but right now on that side of it, it really is moving along fairly well. So potentially, we could have a budget well before closing a session, which is June 7th, I think, is the final date. And right now, a number of bills, including some we've been watching, the PFAS bill, for instance, and their bill funding for trails, bike trails, hiking trails, et cetera. A lot of these bills right now are being referred to the appropriations or finance committee, depending on if they're spending or costing. And what will happen is most of them are going to die either to be put into the budget. And again, I use PFAS as an example because there is funding right now in the budget for municipalities for some PFAS remediation and some funding also for trails. So bills will die. Sometimes they're just going to die. They're not going to go into the budget and they're not going to go anywhere and they won't come out of those committees and they're going to die. Some of them are larger bills that have some fiscal impact buried in it and they have to, by their own regulations, go to those two committees. So over the next few days, we're going to have a really good sense of things, at least that the legislature intends to keep in either the spending or tax part of the budget. And that is right now where things are happening. The other somewhat interesting is that both House and Senate have released to their members their tentative schedule for session days, and there is not a full week of session until the very end. They're in tomorrow, and that is still mainly for nominations for judges and whatnot, but also because it's UConn Day. So if anybody wants to meet the team, they're going to be at the Capitol tomorrow around midday. Starting next week, starting the beginning of May, they are scheduled to go in two or three times a week. But it is, at least right now, a less busy session schedule than we've seen in a while. And I will tell you, from my perspective, it has been a slower session, the budget. You know, fiscally, we're in decent shape. And so the arguments remain about spending cap. But things for this coming year are fairly smooth. You shouldn't say that, but at least right now they are.
As it all hits the fan tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm kidding. Thanks, Kathy. Does anyone have any questions for Kathy on how everything's going? All right. Thank you. Oh,
thank you. Sorry.
Steve, sorry. Hi.
Hi, Mayor. Thank you. So I just want to give a quick good news update for any town that's in MERS. The comptroller has led an initiative with labor leaders and also some folks appointed by CCM, which I've been a part of. First Selectman Harrington, I don't know if he's on this call right now from Windsor Locks, has been a part of that. And given sort of the huge challenges facing the municipal employee retirement system, and many of you probably received letters with massive increases in contributions effective July 1st, there has been a tentative agreement to make some pretty significant modifications, including lowering the floor that currently exists for the COLA and extending the amortization of the unfunded liability from 17 years to 25 years. That is going to result in some pretty significant savings for members that are part of MERS. So just for Manchester, we're going from what was a $600,000 increase that was not expected to getting back to basically where we were last year, which is very encouraging. So there's likely to be, there still needs to be some finalized discussions on this, but there's likely to be a press conference early next week. So anyone in MERS should be expecting some good news. So I just want to share that.
Steve, do you know if there's any availability for like what MERS communities will see as a change? Is that out yet? Or is that being provided by the comptroller's office?
We'll be releasing that. I think based on their actuarial numbers that are still being worked out. But from Manchester's perspective, we have just our firefighters who are not in Social Security. So our contribution for payroll was going from 25 to 30, and it's going to be back below 25%.
That's going to be really helpful to a lot of municipalities, especially as we're in our budgets.
Yep.
Thank you. Hey, John. Oh, you're on mute.
I just want to say that this session, there's a lot of positive bills for towns in terms of changes to various programs we relied on, from local bridge to STEEP to other things. And I think that they're all vulnerable in the negotiations. And I think we should be vocal to reach out and thank the leadership and both parties, bipartisanship, to say, this is good stuff. It will help our property taxes. It will help us move forward as a state, especially on infrastructure capital projects. And I think if we stay silent and don't recognize their efforts, those are really on the chopping blocks for these negotiations between them and the governor, because a lot of it's borrowing. So I urge that if Prague as a whole doesn't want to say thanks for these amazing potential revenue streams that are increasing for the first time in decades, that each town should individually do that.
Easy to say thank you, right? But not until it's signed, sealed, and delivered.
Mayor, this is Matt. You know, we can certainly, I can meet with our, with Jason Bauza and Kathy Lutz. Sure. To work on a letter to that effect, and I want to thank John for raising that.
Great. Anybody else? Awesome. We'll move on to our MPO items. We've got item number 7, TIP amendment. Do I have a motion?
Madam Mayor, it's John Coleman, chair of the Transportation Committee. They're pretty straightforward on the TIP amendments. The only one that's sort of non-state is there's item number 4 is a section 125 earmarked for Ockham River Trail in East Hartford. So we're glad that that's going forward. The Transportation Committee has reviewed all of these, has unanimously approved them, recommends the same to the Policy Board / MPO, and I would so move.
Moved by Mr. Coleman. Do I have a second on this? Don't all jump at once.
Second, Peter Souza.
Thank you, Peter.
Couldn't find the button.
Any questions or comments on that? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Action item number 8. Endorsement of the listed projects to CTDOT under the Transportation Rural Improvement Program, or the TRIP solicitation. John.
Again, this is a great program for our rural communities. We are only permitted to recommend 4 to the state of Connecticut. We received 7. These were the 4 that staff and the Transportation Committee rated as the top 4, and the Transportation Committee approved all 4 of them. Recommend same to the Policy Board / MPO. They will then be forwarded on to the state, where we will be competing with other projects coming from around the state. And I would move approval of the motion.
Thank you, John. Is there a second?
Second, Lisa Thomas, Chairwoman Coventry.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments on this? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Motion carries. And action item number 9, John, the adoption of the 2023 through 2050 Metro Transportation Plan.
2023-2050.
Oh, yeah. What did I say? 2023-2050. Yeah.
This is the overall region's highest priorities and recommendations going forward. It's prepared every 4 years. Again, kudos to the staff for preparing this and all the other work that they've done. This was presented to the policy board back in February. Public comment has been received and responded to, and where appropriate, incorporated in the plan. Transportation Committee, again, unanimously approved forwarding it to the MPO and the policy board, recommends its adoption, and I would so move.
Do we have a second?
Second, Lisa Thomas Coventry. Trying to stay on mute. We're getting a new roof put on. It's kind of loud.
Thanks, Lisa. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Action item number 10, John, the conformity with the Clean Air Act for ozone.
This is, we're required to demonstrate in the transportation plan that you just passed that we are in conformity with the Federal Clean Air Act. We have demonstrated that we are in conformity. The Transportation Committee agreed and adopted its approval and recommends same to the MPO Policy Board. And I would move the motion to that effect.
Ben moved. Do we have a second?
Second, Steve Stefano.
Thanks, Steve. Any questions, comments? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Thanks, John.
Mayor, if I could just add one again, my accolades to the staff for the work, particularly on LOTSIP and on the Metropolitan Planning Act. This staff has been dealing with an enormous volume of activities, both daily and long range, and they should be recognized for the really superb work that they have been conducting and presenting to particularly the Transportation Committee, but to the entire policy board. And congratulations to Matt and the transportation team.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right, we'll move into our correspondence and handout sections. Matt, there's quite a few things here.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So we've got 3 letters of support for various initiatives. And then we've also attached, I don't know that we've done this before, our monthly newsletter, the CROG Connection. You know, if you have a chance to take a look at it, you know, it's very informative. I want to thank Aaliyah Miller for her good work on that. And we're happy to take any feedback you might have as well. So that's it under this item, Mayor. Happy to take any questions people may have.
All right, anybody? Is there any other business today?
No other business from the staff team, Mayor.
Sounds pretty good.
Adjourned, Madam Mayor.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second, Andy Tierney, Town of Hebron.
Thanks, Andy. All those in favor of adjournment, say aye.
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 Opposed? We are adjourned. The time is 12:51 p.m. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Hey. Thanks, Mayor. Thanks, everybody.
Down and say hi to everybody.